You're in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy. Focus.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. Daniel, Field, and Stefania here hanging out with you on this Wednesday, September 21st. I almost said September 21. You almost heard it, right? That almost happened.
Do you remember?
Do I remember?
Yeah.
The 21st night of September. Yeah. Are we going to get fined for me saying?
Probably.
Dang it, I'll pay. Out of Daniel's wallet.
My soul is fine.
It's after body yacht. That's sweet.
Wow, that's what it is. Okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. Mm-hmm. It's really good to see you guys.
Good to see you too, bud.
Seriously, it's always fantastic. You're wearing buttons today, Field. I'm wearing buttons today.
I didn't get the memo about like the olive green.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's okay, Stefania. In all honesty, I feel like you're the one that should stand out. You don't need to wear the same stuff as us. We just want to compliment you here.
It is kind of jarring, though, when Daniel throws buttons on. Like, I'm trying to think of the analog for this. Like, there was a time, like 3 years ago, where Matthew, who used to wear like the oldest, like daddiest leather brown shoes forever, and then like he one week showed up with a different pair of Sperry's for four straight days. I like was off, like I, like my body like lost balance for a week. I was so thrown off by it, right?
Beth finally took him shopping.
Yeah, Daniel's got multiple buttons down, which I support the heck out of the multiple buttons down thing you got going on.
Yeah.
Like, people that have ever wondered, does Daniel have tattoos on his chest? Yeah, he does. Yeah. They're awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
And the dark jeans. Like, we got it all going on.
It's a look. Well, you know what? Rosie wanted to dress me up just a little bit every once in a while.
She dresses you up.
Well, you know what, Field? Here's the thing. We're going to save this, but today is a special day, a very special day, because it's Rosie's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Rosie.
Fantastic.
Rosie.
Thank you for making Daniel so happy.
Seriously, like Rosie,
which
came into my life like almost 3 years ago. And I am so unbelievably in love with this woman. She is so unreal, the things that she does. She is so strong and proud and independent. And yet at the same time, she is unbelievably caring and she is so giving of herself. She is also, she's just a freaking smoke show. I mean, she is so unbelievably
gorgeous.
Easy now.
It's a family show.
Well, I'm just
saying. Well, we often wonder if Rosie has poor vision.
Yes.
Because, you know, we used to say this all the time, but, you know, the whole like out kicking your coverage thing, yeah. Daniel. Congratulations.
I did it real hard, my friend.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Place to be.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Rosie, I'm so unbelievably proud to have you in my life. I'm so thankful. Ever since you have come into my life, I feel like I have learned how to be able to love you. Not just you, but life, and appreciate life better. You have done so much for me. And the way that you have taught me how to be able to accept love and take love and be able to be loved. I just am so unbelievably in love with you. You are so amazing. I cannot wait to spend the rest of my life with you. You're incredible. Happy birthday, babe. All right, let's talk about some football.
All right.
Yeah, because that's a natural segue after that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know, what do you want me to say? I'm a little verklempt too. All right.
I don't even know what verklempt means, but I too am verklempt right now.
Right now, Niners. Is this a good transition? Okay. Niners fans are verklempt.
Is that okay?
Tried though. He tried.
Bonus points for trying. All right. We're talking about some news here. Tyrion Davis Price. Stefania, we talked about this yesterday really quickly. Turns out Tyrion Davis Price is going to be out for a few weeks. We already knew that Elijah Mitchell is going to be gone, with TDP also going to be out. And Trey Lance obviously going to be gone. Is Jeff Wilson now a guy that becomes a must start in this Niners backfield?
Well, you have to remember that the 49ers have a variety of people who run the ball and they're not all running backs. So while Jeff Wilson did have the predominant share of the carries for the running backs, I think he had 40% of the team's running back rushes. So it's still not like it's heavily weighted towards him. And remember, there are other people running the ball, like Debo Samuel, and you're probably going to get more of that. Remember, Kyle Juszczyk is somebody they use when they're in the red zone. And so Jeff Wilson Jr. is the lead running back for the 49ers. Marlon Mack was also activated. Remember, we talked yesterday about him being signed to the practice squad. He's probably going to run as number two behind Jeff Wilson Jr. is what I'm hearing. So,
and by the way, I think we all kind of had this sized up correctly last week when Jeff Wilson became a starter. He's a low end flex play who needs to score a touchdown to pay off. Stefania referenced it. Yeah, he had 18 carries. TDP had 14 of them. And how about this? They have the ball, first and goal from the one. And guess who gets the last two carries on third and from fourth and goal from the 1 yard line? Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G actually scored a rushing touchdown last week. So Jeff Wilson,
very Tom Brady-esque from his time with him.
Mm-hmm. He's fired up. And Jeff Wilson had two catches. That's good, but it's not like he's going to get five targets in the game. So again, I think he remains like a low-end flex play to a potentially, he's somewhere in the flex range just based off how things go circumstantially. But this team should be able to run the football effectively. But it wouldn't surprise me, as Stefania just insinuated, that other players, maybe even Marlon Mack, gets eight carries on Sunday night against the Denver Broncos. Yeah. So Jeff Wilson, really solid player still, but like there's a ceiling on him just because of the other players involved and the limited passing game usage.
Yep. Another piece of news here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers decided they wanted to also get a little bit older, seeing as they're going to be without Mike Evans. So they go out and sign Cole Beasley, because why not? I'm telling you, you got Julio Jones, you got Russell Gage, you got Cole Beasley potentially out there for week three. I'm not feeling super confident in these Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'm not as well. We'll talk about Tom Brady in just a minute, but just for those wondering, like, oh, he's playing with Tom Brady, should I be playing Cole Beasley this week? Let's see what happens with Mike Evans. First of all, the appeal for his suspension, we should have a decision by the end of the day today. Moreover, we don't know if Chris Godwin will play this Sunday. We don't know whether or not Julio Jones will play this Sunday. If all those guys are out, then somebody might have to catch passes from Tom Brady. No matter what the circumstances are, though, I would look at Cole Beasley as just like an absolute desperation play in a 16-team league. By the way, he may not even be on the 53-man roster on Sunday. He's still on the practice squad. So, interesting player. He's been a productive slot receiver for a handful of years, that's for sure. But I think we can hold our horses here before we start to put Cole Beasley into our lineups.
I think you're right. I think that's I love the phrase, hold your horses. It's something Mama Dop used to say back in the day all the time.
I don't have a horse, but if I did, I'd hold it.
You would hold it. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got a new segment this week called Start, Bench, Cut. We're going to go through a handful of players. Players that have been giving us fits, guys that are just frustrating, sort of across the board. We're going to start here with the quarterback position, with Russell Wilson taking on Stefania's San Francisco 49ers. Here's the deal. First 2 weeks, Russell Wilson was quarterback 14 and quarterback 24.
Yeah.
I have him as QB12 heading into this week, in part because of that Niners matchup. Stefania, when you're looking at Russell Wilson, does it give you pause, not just because of how bad this offense is, but because of how good your defense has been lately?
Yes. I mean, and I have him in the war room, like, I believe, and it's been a disappointment so far. Look,
Does it give you pause enough? I should have phrased
it. Start, bench, or cut? Bench, well, it depends on if I'm in a 10-team league, I'm benching him. Because I still think, better days are definitely ahead, but I think there are better streaming options for you if it's a 10-team league. Obviously, where you guys have him ranked, if it's 12-team league, maybe you take your chances. I do think the pass defense of the 49ers could give him some trouble.
Yeah.
I don't love him this week, but I'm not cutting him.
No, he's not a cut.
I got him at quarterback 11, so right on the fringe of being a starter in a 10-team league. Couple things here. We don't know the status of Jerry Jeudy yet for Sunday night. If he plays, it obviously gives you more confidence. And then two, again, didn't we hear all offseason about how Russ finally has this collaborative offensive approach with Nathaniel Hackett, who's going to bring out the best in Russell Wilson? Let's get it going, guys, a little bit here, right? He threw for a bunch of yards in week one against the Seahawks with a very inexperienced secondary, but the operation in Denver has looked bad through 2 weeks. They've looked, at best, clumsy, at worst, like, dysfunctional. Like, let's get it going. Yeah. You just paid this guy $49 million a year. So better days are definitely ahead for Russell Wilson, but this is a league where the margin for error is so thin that we don't have a lot of time to waste here anymore, Denver.
Fields, do you know there's one quarterback specifically that has more rushing yards than Russell Wilson on the year? I realize I've been saying his name wrong. And his name is Joe Flacco. And the idea that Russell Wilson through 2 weeks has fewer rushing yards than Joe Flacco in this Broncos offense is a part of, like, we were hoping to see more rushing too from him, right? We didn't see it last year, hoping that it would return a little bit in this Broncos offense. Haven't seen it. That's part of why I have him outside my top 10.
They look confused back there. And I think this is where they run into trouble with the 49ers, because the pass rush that they're going to face is
going to be a tough matchup. Yeah. All right. On the other side of this conversation, Field, Joe Burrow has been tough. Quarterback 12 in week one, quarterback 15 in week two. Going against the New York Jets, I think I'm trusting him here one more week. He's probably still a start for me, but where are you at on Joe Burrow in week three?
Yeah, I've got him at quarterback 7. This is the week that I think Joe Burrow breaks through. The first week, you mentioned it, Daniel. He was terrible in week one, right? Yeah. Terrible. Like, had five turnovers in total. He's still at 18.2 fantasy points, right?
Five quarters to get there, by the way.
But sure. But still, he had five turnovers and still got you 18.2 fantasy points. I'll take the optimistic side of that. Last week against the Cowboys, still an issue. The big concern right now in Cincinnati is that they paid all this money to revamp the offensive line, and it looks like the offensive line last year, where Joe Burrow is under duress, all the time. He needs to be a bit more decisive as well. That is not lost on me, but the receivers are way too good. I mean, he's still got one of the best, if not the best trio of wideouts in the NFL. Hayden Hurst has been solid. Joe Mixon's been good in the passing game, 10 catches so far. Jets defense is frisky, but I don't think it's on the level of the two that he's faced so far. The Steelers with TJ Watt and the Cowboys, who I know that we always talk about the quarterback and the head coach and the offensive woes. Cowboys defense looks like the real deal so far.
It looks like the only thing that's the real deal on that Cowboys team right now, unfortunately, which is tough. All right, let's talk about Tom Brady.
Yeah, good one here.
Because this one, I was thinking about this as on my drive in. I'm trying to figure out, you know, it feels so weird to have this conversation, but Tom Brady, after 2 weeks, has finished outside the top 25 at quarterback in both weeks. This week now, potentially no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. You're talking about, like we said earlier, Julio Jones, Russell Gage, maybe Cole Beasley. I think you're going to see a heavy dosage of Leonard Fournette in this game. If I can bench Tom Brady and I have the option to take a Kirk Cousins or a Carson Wentz, I'm benching Tom Brady here in week three. Any difference from you guys?
Nope. Benching him as well.
Yeah, so am I. I've got him as quarterback 12 this week. And beyond all the injuries that you have mentioned, let's not overlook this, is that we thought when they replaced Bruce Arians with a defensive-minded head coach, because the offensive system was still in place and the same offensive coordinator in Byron Leftwich was still in place, that things would look similar offensively. So far, small sample size, but so far, that's not the case. This is a much run-heavier offense in what we call neutral game script, which you might hear a decent amount here on the podcast, and that, like, if you're up 24 to nothing, you're going to run the football a lot. Bleed the clock. Let's get to the end of the game. If you're down 24 to nothing, you're not going to run the ball much because it's harder to score fast on the ground than it is through the air. But if it's 10-7, if you're down 14-10, if you're close, if you're tied, we track how much you're running it versus how much you're throwing it. And all of a sudden the Bucs, who for years with Bruce Arians, well, I guess 2 years with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, throw it. This year, it's run the football a lot more than we have seen, and whether that's because they can't pass protect along the offensive line, whether it's because of all the wide receiver injuries. For week three, that ain't going away. I've got Tom Brady as quarterback 12. I might be too optimistic.
I was going to say, I think that's high. Packers pass defense is better than you think. And on top of that, the combination of the situation that they're facing in terms of the matchup this week and the uncertainty about the pass catchers who are available makes me very concerned about Tom Brady.
So to be clear, I'm fringe start Russell Wilson, start Joe Burrow, bench Tom Brady.
Bench Tom Brady. Those Tampa Bay Buccaneers
Tom Brady,
offense.
You're benched.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
That's good to say.
Bucks have scored two offensive touchdowns the entire season.
They look bad.
It's been inept. All right. Let's talk about this next one. I'm going to do it without a name. I don't want to put a name up here first, but for our audio listeners, this running back scored 8.2 points in week one.
Okay.
Scored 8.5 points in week two.
Is this like Brandon Bolden?
Their team ranks 28th in offensive play. So they're not getting a lot of time out there on the field.
Okay, so
and
not
they've
a lot of
led
plays.
Almost less than two-thirds of the time. Derrick Henry is the conversation where we have been having a lot of people, and I know this seems crazy. We've had people in our chat, can I bench Derrick Henry here in week three after 2 weeks of him not even getting double-digit points and the rest of that offense looking so bad?
Yeah. No.
To that credit, he's still Derrick Henry. You've got to keep starting him right now. You cannot bench Derrick Henry here in week three because where you drafted him, you're not going to have somebody else that you're going to put there. And he could always have that one run that goes 85 yards for a touchdown or he starts breaking out and something happens. But you can absolutely lower your expectations with what you think Derrick Henry used to be. He's still a start for me, but he's no longer the, I'm going to get you 25 points every week, Derrick Henry, in this offense.
Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe I'm a Derrick Henry apologist, but I do not think much of this is on Derrick Henry. I think a lot of it's on the offensive line. There's nowhere for him to run. It's how they play them. I don't think the Raiders will be able to play them that way. And so I actually think that this is a better matchup for Tennessee, and I like Derrick Henry this week. I think he has a much better game than what you've seen the first 2 weeks.
So I think the calculation on Derrick Henry for right now is, separate Derrick Henry's fantasy value for a second and look at who they're playing and say to yourself, all right, do I think the Titans are going to win this game? Do I think they're going to lose this game? And if you think they're going to lose this game, are they going to lose the game by a little or a lot?
A lot.
Right.
Well, this week, do you think they're going to lose by a lot?
I'm with you because if they're going to lose by a lot, like,
then you have to be really worried, right?
Yes.
If they're going to lose by a little or they're going to win, then you're fine, right? Like Derrick Henry got 21 rushing attempts in week one. Would we have loved a touchdown? Of course. Would we have loved a catch? Of course. Would we have loved 27 carries as opposed to 21 carries? Yes, but as we discussed yesterday, I mean, it's a toxic wasteland atop the running back board right now. Yeah. So if you think they're going to play Las Vegas closer, and I do, I think this team will respond.
I do too.
Then you're still going to keep Derrick Henry as a start that you almost have to do because he is the king. He's Derrick Henry. I've got him as running back 10, but as I expressed yesterday, let's focus on this offense, this team very closely for the next 3 weeks because we could learn something.
The other thing is for fantasy, you always ask yourself the question, how would you feel? Would you feel better if you put Derrick Henry in your lineup and you get a modest result? Or would you feel better if he's on your bench and he goes off?
That's a great point.
You know, because you probably spent a lot of draft capital and who are you replacing him with?
Right. That's the great point too, Stefania, is that there hasn't been, as I just said, every running back stinks right now, right? There's no good running back. I mean, there are some good running backs, but as I stated yesterday on Twitter is that there are zero running backs, zero, that have at least 17 fantasy points in week one and week two. It's not like, hey, I know I have Derrick Henry and he's Derrick Henry, but I grabbed this guy off the waiver wire, Cordarrelle Patterson in 2021, and he's got 25 points in each of the first two games. I got to play him, right? No, it's like, hey, I'm like going to bench Derrick Henry because I have Ramondre Stevenson on the bench. And it's like, he had like 5 points last week too. So I'm playing him. I'm concerned. Yeah. I want better for Derrick Henry, but right now I still have him as a start.
Yeah,
agree with you on that. How about Ezekiel Elliott taking on the Giants? This one's tough.
This one I could see a conversation coming.
Week one, 5.9 fantasy points. He was running back 50. Week two, 5.9 fantasy points. He was running back 46. This team sucks. Can I just say that?
Yeah, they
have the fewest points scored out of every team in the entire NFL. The Dallas Cowboys have scored fewer, like not fantasy points, regular points, 23 points through 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I
think Zeke is a bench for me. Right now, I've got him at running back 23.
Right.
And after looking at that, I think that I might be too high on Ezekiel Elliott with how bad this offense is.
I went back and watched some of it yesterday because I had to look at the box score. 59 rushing yards and 53 rushing yards for Zeke. He has two catches that have resulted in negative seven yards so far this year. So basically screens that just get blown up.
Yep.
No juice. None. And I know the offensive line, I'll hear those arguments. He's got no juice.
I don't agree. I think it's inconsistent.
I think he's got no juice.
I disagree. If you look in the, I went back and watched the first, if you watch him in the first game, he was actually running pretty well. If you look at his yards per carry in the first week, he was running pretty well. Yeah. I have not rewatched every play of the second week, but I don't agree that he doesn't have juice. I think it's inconsistent. I don't think Tony Pollard looks much better.
Well, I think Tony Pollard looks way better.
I don't agree.
I think it's night and day, athletically, burst wise. I think it's night and day.
So I think here's the part that's tough because Tony Pollard, I want to see him get more usage within the run game, but within the passing game, he's clearing away the guy, right? They're not using Ezekiel Elliott in the passing game. And right now with Cooper Rush, feels like Tony Pollard's fantasy value as a pass catcher is inherently higher than Ezekiel Elliott with Cooper Rush under center just because of the negative game script it feels like you're going to have from having Cooper Rush there.
I'm not sure there's going to be negative game script this week, and that's why I still have him as running back 20. It's almost like mercifully I have him at running back 20, but it's a tough one, right? I mean, the saving grace here is that A, you didn't pay a premium on Zeke. He was going around running back 20 in the preseason, so it's not like this isn't as concerning as if you had taken him where he has gone in previous years, running back 4 or 5, right? Agree. I just think that I don't expect the running game to click automatically, and they have been playing Tony Pollard close to the same number of snaps. Last week, there was a one snap difference. So I'm concerned about Zeke.
50-50 split, but that's also what they suggested they were going to do at the start of the season. I just don't think their offense is so hard to read right now because we don't know. And by the way, I really wish the Cowboys would stop saying, and you know, Dak could be back even sooner, because that puts a lot of pressure on him and it just disrupts it. Just let Dak get better. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, it's very hard to read how this offense will execute. We've seen 1 week with Cooper Rush, who definitely was serviceable at the position, but they're focused on their wide receivers. They're focused. They're going to get Michael Gallup back this week. I don't think their run game looks great for a number of reasons. And I think they're wildly inconsistent. But so to me, Zeke is either a flex play, potentially a bench if you've got a better option. I'm concerned about his productivity. I don't think it's all on him.
I think to me, if I can bench him this week, if I have somebody else that I could play in the flex, maybe that has a little bit more upside, I'm going to roll that way. But this is going to be a big week for Zeke and the Cowboys offense just in general, taking on this Giants team. All right, let's talk about some wide receivers here. DJ Moore Field. This one has been tough.
It has been. Three catches for 43 yards exactly in both of the first two games. He has a touchdown last week, so it saves the day here. I've still got him as a start. Wide receiver 23 on my board, which is about, you know, 8 or 10 slots lower than probably where you would have thought he'd be in our weekly rankings, a top 15-ish wide receiver.
Based on where he was drafted, yeah.
Yeah, but I talked about this with a little earlier about the Broncos' offensive operation. Same thing goes for the Carolina Panthers here. Let's get it going, right? Baker Mayfield, I believed coming into the year, was not a bottom five quarterback.
Agreed.
Not a top five quarterback as well, but he has not been playing nearly close to the standard that I'm sure the Panthers expected when they traded for him, even at a discounted price. So let's get it going here. And, you know, logically, just who's the best pass catcher on this roster? Well, I know Christian McCaffrey's there too, but they haven't been getting the football nearly enough in the hands of Christian McCaffrey or DJ Moore in the passing game. It's time for both. I still have him as a start because, you know, DJ Moore, he only needs one catch to turn it into 50 yards and a touchdown potentially.
Yeah.
But let's, I am trying to manifest this right now, Carolina. Let's get the ball a little bit more to DJ Moore.
I'll tell you what, 6 targets each game this season.
Let's get last that number
year,
up.
That's the thing. Last year, career high, averaging 9.5 targets per game. Got to have more from that. Yeah. We expected more from Baker Mayfield. All right, Stefania, yes. Deontay Johnson. Taking on the Cleveland Browns this week.
Yeah. I don't know why he's on the list. Like, start him. Like,
yeah. You want to start him?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Look at, I mean, he's got roughly 30% of the target share in each of the first 2 weeks. And by the way, he is an incredible playmaker. Like, if you just watch the way he is, you know, what's that stat beyond the expected catch?
Yeah.
He's a guy who's going to be high in that stat department.
Absurd.
His catches are like one-handed while going up in the air and falling backwards and still hangs on to it. Unbelievable.
You know, we had like the Allen Robbins for all those years or other wide receivers where even Larry Fitzgerald, it was like, if they just had a capable, competent quarterback, right? Deontay Johnson got tail end of his career, Ben Roethlisberger, and now Mitch Trubisky.
And he's making them look
Kenny
good.
Pickett stock, or Deontay Johnson stock goes up with Kenny Pickett. He's still a star for me. The volume is just absurd. He's bound to catch a touchdown, maybe tomorrow night.
I totally agree with you. I think that's part of this question, like, because it seems silly, right? We all have Deontay Johnson, but the Steelers, like, Mitchell Trubisky has not looked good, right?
Yeah.
And Deontay Johnson, for all that he is, hasn't cracked more than 15 fantasy points, and we expect a lot more volume. So I think a lot of this is, I can't wait to see Kenny Pickett. That's a conversation. I just can't wait to see Kenny Pickett in this offense and what that's going to do for Deontay Johnson.
The ceiling for
guys.
Deontay Johnson is much higher than what you're seeing. But but the floor, it makes him a worthwhile play. I mean, on a two-week sample size. And by the way, this is a guy who had his shoulder banged up at the very end of the preseason, and people were wondering if he was going to start. And clearly, that's not an issue.
Stefania, speaking of ceiling and floor, let's talk about DK Metcalf real quick. Taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Wide receiver 56 week one. Wide receiver 61 week two. Geno Smith.
And he's mad. Have you seen him during the game? Not happy.
So
angry.
I love angry DK Metcalf, right? You love that because you want him to be able to want the ball. But here's the thing that DK Metcalf cannot change. Geno Smith is averaging less than 200 passing yards and one touchdown per game. He can't fix that. So if you have DK Metcalf on your roster, are you starting him or are you benching him here in week 3?
To me, he's an upside play, which is always sort of, you know, he's a flex upside play. You're hoping for more against Atlanta. It's the matchup, right? I think this is the matchup where he has a chance to put more points on the board. I could see one of these big play, you know, break out like a 50-something yard touchdown for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, let's hope. I've got him as wide receiver 28 on my board, so a low-end flex play, wide receiver 3 if you play with 3 wide receivers in your league here. You know, the concerning parts are everything that you guys have discussed up to this point. Atlanta does actually have pretty good cornerbacks on the perimeter, so we'll see whether Casey Hayward left the game last week. We'll see whether he's available or not this week, and then we know AJ Terrell is a bona fide all pro level player. So that gives me a little bit of concern here. But, you know, listen, we have so many. I had plenty of calls in the preseason that 2 weeks in, I already wish I had back. But this was exactly what I conveyed throughout the preseason, is that you're turning the keys over offensively to a quarterback who, in like something like 34 career starts, had like 3 300-yard passing games and 3 games with 3 or more passing touchdowns. stating the obvious here, Geno Smith is not Russell Wilson. I know Russell Wilson's been just okay so far, but I yearn for the days of DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson playing together one more time. The volume's been ish, okay-ish, but we need some big play upside here. And again, calling another, I'm worried here.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
I'm worried about him season long. I think it could happen. DK Metcalf's still blazing speed fast. He's still powerful because of how he's built strong. I think he has the potential to make a big play here, but
no team has long-term quarterback question. They're right at the top of the list in terms of uncertainty about long-term quarterback questions.
This is projecting, right? And I realize that, but just hear me out. Just a fun conversation. If he has another...
I'll decide if it's fun.
If he has another single-digit fantasy performance, again, this week in week three, are you benching him?
Yeah, I mean,
from throwing out?
Well.
Until you see it again.
Well, there's some guys that I think we're going to talk about in the next section.
I was just
going
to say that. Okay. That
make it a pretty compelling case because whereas with running backs, you almost have to because there are so few options, right? Like, who are you thrusting into your lineup for Derrick Henry? You know, I use Ramondre Stevenson. Are you going to throw Breece Hall in there over Derrick Henry? You're going to throw whatever. You're going to throw, Melvin Gordon in there over Derrick Henry, guys that have been okay so far? I don't think the answer is yes, but a wide receiver, there are some pretty intriguing options. So, yeah, Daniel, after one more dud game, it's a consideration.
It's a serious consideration. All right, we're going to talk about a couple more names here in just a minute, but first, Field, help us out for a second.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, or your motor, I said motorcycle, Rosie's motorcycle. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Football season brings back many traditions that we know and love, like touchdown dances, the pick six. I like the big men pick six myself. That's my favorite tradition. Game-winning field goals and watching it well with friends and a cooler full of Miller Lite, or just a pool full of Miller Lite if you were like Miller Lite Mike. The action on the field is reliable year after year, and pair it with the most reliable light beer. Every Sunday, game time is Miller time. The dependable taste, a low-calorie count. I love it. It's the perfect beer for football. Really, it's the perfect beer for any time. Let's just be honest. Because with enough effort, any time can be Miller time. It's the beer drinker's light beer with only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving. Your only concern is the next third down conversion. And Miller Lite tastes like beer. Because if you're a beer lover, you don't want watered-down flavor field. You want original light beer. Mm. Football season brings back the big hits. So reach for the biggest hit of them all, Miller Lite. You can find Miller Lite pretty much everywhere beer is sold. Or go to MillerLite.com/FFF for delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller time, Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving. All right, let's talk a couple more wide receivers here.
Dude, this is where it gets fun.
This is where it gets fun. Adam Thielen, Vikings wide receiver, guy who's been a mainstay, honestly, and was field one of the first moments that I will ever remember, and I hate to bring this up on the podcast, but one of the first moments that I'll ever remember is the Adam Thielen conversation where we talked about this guy just had the game of his life.
Yeah.
And then Adam Thielen had the second game of his life. But he cemented himself in my memory because of that, because all the stuff we did here on Focus, it is different this year. This is Justin Jefferson's team. He is wide receiver 66 in week one, wide receiver 52 in week two. Heading into week three against my Detroit Lions, which should be a good matchup because you know that secondary can be taken advantage of. Is he a start? Is he a bench? Or is he a cut consideration?
I don't think he's a cut consideration yet. I think he's a bench. I've got him at wide receiver 31. So I suppose he's right on the flex radar. He's very close to it. But I think that it really comes down to what are you looking for? Is there upside? There is upside because despite the low yardage totals for two games for Adam Thielen, he's always been really good in the red zone. But I think it's clear right now that when you watch the Vikings, and we all have the chance to do so on Monday night, is that we know they have a megastar wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. They have Justin Jefferson, who's going to command a legitimate target share every single week. But the depth here is better than it has been in previous years, and Adam Thielen was one of the star players in that offense, right? They have KJ Osborne, who gets some work. They've got two tight ends, and Irv Smith and Johnny Munt, who are both playing a decent amount right now. Like, they've got playmakers. For a while, it was Thielen and Diggs, right?
Right.
Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, both enough involved as maybe not necessarily heavy target shares, but, you know, Cook had four catches on Monday night. So I think Thielen is, he needs a touchdown to pay off, but because of his propensity for that in the past, I'm not discounting the possibility he can get one.
Okay. Stefania, yeah, anything you want to add?
I think Field is, he's already spoken my argument. I am regretting somewhat my enthusiasm for Adam Thielen before the season started, but I was giving him the benefit of the doubt because of the ankle injury last year that pretty much ended his season early, and he had surgery on that ankle. And I thought, you know, when he comes back, he's going to still be this red zone presence for Kirk Cousins. And I do appreciate that there have been some targets there, but none of them have turned into a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm looking at him as somebody I'm putting in my lineup as a flex, 6 points, 9, but like, I'm not really happy with this. And I am a little concerned. I'd be benching him this week. I'm not seeing it in Detroit. And I think the running backs will end up getting a lot of work.
The matchup is so good though, that you're like, you're scared of, he could have like 4 catches for, even if it's like 4 for 42 and a touchdown.
It's a good day.
That's a flex. That's 14.2 fantasy points right there. So that's what you're weary of. But I think Thielen's a juxtaposition against the next player that we're going to talk about, Dingo, that I think is sort of at the heart of roster construction.
And I think this is where I have Thielen as a bench for me this week, but he could be a cut for me if this next player is available and you needed a spot on your team from that standpoint. And for me, that's Garrett Wilson taking on the Cincinnati Bengals here. Week one, 9.2 fantasy points, but a lot of targets in that week one. Week two, 30 fantasy points, wide receiver 6. Did you know the New York Jets and Joe Flacco lead the NFL in pass attempts?
It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
I mean,
they do.
This is one of those guys that the stock is just going up for him. I have him as a low-end flex play. I'd rather have him, like I said, if Garrett Wilson is out there for some reason, if Garrett Wilson is out there on your waiver wire and you have Adam Thielen, I have no problem cutting Adam Thielen in order to go out there and grab Garrett Wilson. But this week, he is a start for me as a low-end flex.
22 targets through 2 games, 8 in week 1, 14 in week 2. He had the 2 touchdowns this past week. That was awesome to see. Your eyeballs tell you this guy's got the chance to be a really good player in this league. And we came into the season thinking like, okay, Elijah Moore has the largest sample size, done it for 2 years. He was there last year, flashed a lot during training camp. He's the one you want, right? Nope. It turns out Garrett Wilson seems to be, at least 2 weeks into the season, he might be the highest upside Jets wide receiver. So I've got him at wide receiver 30, but if he's my flex, I'm excited about it. Yeah, so really excited.
Here's my thing. I love him as long as Joe Flacco is a quarterback. And here's why, because you look at the productivity. So in week one, his target share was 14%. In week two, it jumped up to over 32%.
Yeah.
Whereas Elijah Moore stayed pretty consistent at, you know, 12% and 11% each week. To me, Joe Flacco saw something in Garrett Wilson that he trusts. And if you watch week two's game, you saw how he made plays. I mean, there was one play he made where he ended up on his back. We thought he was done for the game. He comes back in and he ends up continuing to be productive, scores after that. I think he's got the highest ceiling of any Jets receiver. And right now, I'm starting him. If I went out and got him, I am starting him, and I'm starting him as long as Flacco is there. I get a little bit concerned when Zach Wilson comes back, but we'll see.
Interesting conversation when Zach Wilson's back.
Yeah, it really is.
Just look at the splits in and out with Zach in versus without Zach out, and the Jets passing offense a
600
year.
And something yards. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's
absurd.
I think I think Joe Flacco realized Joe Flacco. In order for He's to elite. Not stink. He just needed to throw the ball to Garrett Wilson.
He needed his kids to rile up.
That's what it
bit,
is. You
know? Flacco is elite.
Yeah.
All right. This next one is another really interesting conversation through 2 weeks. Love to be able to see it. Field, you talked about Curtis Samuel heading into the year and all the things that he is as a player. We never saw it. We didn't see it as much as we wanted to with because of a lot of injuries. But first 2 weeks, wide receiver 13, wide receiver 12. He's a guy that I have as a starter and is an easy starter for me this week.
It's easy. This is not hard. And the only way that this does not work out is if the Commanders decide to change their plan. Mm-hmm. And through 2 weeks, the best part of their team has been their passing offense. So it would be, you would think, illogical to change their plan. But as you said, Daniel, he's been really good through 2 weeks, in part because he's awesome. Also in part because of volume. Right. Not only is he getting a ton of targets, he's getting rushing opportunities, and he's getting targets that matter near the line of scrimmage. And when you're as shifty and quick and nimble as Curtis Samuel is, those are going to lead to lots of yards after the catch. Unless they change their plan, which that's not something that us or any other fantasy analyst would be able to tell you. Unless they change their plan, easy start. Yep. And he should be weekly going forward. If I'm Scott Turner, their offensive coordinator, I'm saying he's really good. Let's keep doing this. Why would you
move away from what's working for you? Because there's a lot about that offense that isn't working. And so that, to me, that connection between him and Wentz, and it's also the targets, as you mentioned, Curtis Samuel, 20 targets through the first 2 weeks. Next is Terry McLaurin with 12.
Yep.
So it's not close.
Yep. Yeah, that target share is interesting to me. I'm interested to see. We'll see how that works out.
But by the way, it does not need to be 10 every week to pay off. It can be 7 with 3 rushing attempts, and you feel great about it.
Especially with the efficiency of where he's getting those targets at close to the line
of scrimmage. 5 catches, 55 yards. We'll take that too.
A touchdown each week. Yeah, we'll do that. All right, here's one. I talked about this guy last night on SportsCenter.
Humble Sorry, guys. Oh my God.
Sorry about that.
They still let you on
last night. Yeah, they did let me on. Yeah, it was real nice. Kevin Negandhi and I went through and talked about guys that we were panicked about, and Darnell Mooney came up because after 2 weeks, week one, he had 1 catch for 8 yards, and that was a massive downpour. They were playing in puddles, right? Week two, 1 catch for -4 yards. Just when you thought there was nowhere to go but up, it literally went down, which was really tough after 1 catch for 8 yards. If you're at a spot where you need to cut Darnell Mooney, or you want to cut Darnell Mooney for one of these other guys that we have potentially talked about, I don't have a problem with
it because
this Bears offense is bad.
Correct. Mm. That is the thing. It's not Darnell Mooney's production. It's the Bears offense. Like, I don't see it getting better.
I'm not just cutting him willy-nilly just to cut him.
Right. I'm benching him. Yeah, I'm benching him. Maybe this is me being a little bit too conservative, but I'm benching him, not cutting him here. You did say it can't get way better, but it has to get better because it can't get worse. Right?
Like, there's literally that after week one.
No, but it can't get worse. Like, he's now at 0 for 0 last week, right? So there's no way for it to get worse.
0 catches for a rush and a fumble.
But we know what the floor is.
Yeah, we do. The floor is 0 catches.
Yes.
Did he even, I thought, for some reason, I had like week negative. One was 1 for -4 yards. Like, maybe I'm wrong. But in any event, it was 1 catch. That much is confirmed. I think I might have more receiving yards than Darnell Mooney so far this year.
How many pass attempts do the Chicago Bears have this year?
28 through 2 games. 28.
Yeah.
28 passing attempts. That's just, I mean, it's a borderline unbelievable number. So here's what I would say. 2 years before this, we saw Darnell Mooney and he looked good. He did so with Justin Fields as a quarterback for at least portions of last year. Really talented guy. And I think he is a bench stash for right now. Allow him to earn his way back into your lineup. But at some point, if you're the Bears, and it may not be this week because they play the Texans, this could be a grinded out game. You may not have a choice. You got to throw it more and more and more. And I know that final score of the Packers game looked like a more lopsided affair than it was. But like, there was a point there where the Bears, like, all of a sudden it's the third quarter. And you're like, they're not necessarily in it, but they're also not out of it to the point that, like, I get why they're running the football a little bit. I'm benching Darnell Mooney. I am not dropping him. I just really believe in the player.
That's fair, because he did show us last year what kind of talent he has. I got so frustrated with the offense that I'm like, I just don't see this getting better. I'm looking at the matchup this week. It's definitely not getting better this week.
In a vacuum.
Not great.
This is what
and
I
if I had to cut him to get somebody else, I would do it.
So this is what I want to ask. And I realize I'm putting you guys on the spot. But we just talked about Garrett Wilson and Curtis Samuel, two guys that we both really like. If Curtis Samuel, for some reason, was still out there, Field Yates, and you had Darnell Mooney and you didn't have anyone else you could drop, are you dropping Darnell Mooney for Curtis Samuel, or are you going to hold tight?
Well, first of all, I'm begging to be in this league forever, because if there's a league where Curtis Samuel is still available. I'll be in that league for the rest of time. I'll pay everybody's dues.
And my league is everybody's so good dues that are on I don't me. Have anybody else.
Is there anyone on this list really, like Garrett Wilson? Like, I mean, he's still rostered in most every league that we play in, so it's tough from that standpoint.
No, I believe, and I could be way off here, I may be speaking out of turn, I believe that most people have someone on their bench that either plays a position where you only start one per week. I would prefer Darnell Mooney to a backup tight end, or there are other guys that you have on your bench that are older, that have less upside for the rest of the season than Darnell Mooney. That's close, but I feel like, you know, I'm not yet ready to cut bait on Adam Thielen either. So I think there are guys, I think there are options there, right? So I may be way off, but I think in general that's going to be the case. He's a bench for me right now.
All right, let's talk about Kyle Pitts, who has been absolutely brutal through the first 2 weeks. Here's the thing, though. Kyle Pitts is brutal, but this team knows they need to get him the football. They have two superstars on their team. Well, they better learn. If not, then please start paying attention.
They don't think so.
They've got Drake London, and they have Kyle Pitts. They've got to figure out how to be able to get their two young superstars the football. He's still a start for me. But it doesn't mean you need to feel good about it. You can't bench Kyle Pitts, though. There's no way there's another tight end that you have that you're going to start ahead of Kyle
Pitts.
There's
literally only one circumstance under which you can bench Kyle Pitts. It's that you decided that you wanted to really exploit that tight end position in the draft, and you double dipped with Kelce / Kittle / Mark Andrews plus Kyle Pitts, right? So you have Kelce and Kyle Pitts in your roster. One's your flex. It's a conversation there because you may have other really good flex options. But assuming you took the much more conventional route of just one tight end, you have to play him. And what you need to do is you need to go to bed on Saturday night. You need to say a small prayer if you're a person of faith that Kyle Pitts gets more than 19 yards in a game. Uh-huh. Two catches, 19 yards in week one. Two catches, 19 yards in week two. Like, we're talking about a player who had over 1,000 receiving yards as a rookie last year. I have the field pass column coming out, and we are going to dive into the Kyle Pitts dilemma right now. But as I stated in that column, Kyle Pitts does not check every box for a tight end because there are so many boxes that he checks that even the most optimistic tight end evaluator would never imagine that somebody at 6'6" could be as gifted athletically mm-hmm. as Kyle Pitts is. This is literally unfathomable what they have done through two games. It needs to change. I am never going to be the person that thinks I am anywhere as close to as smart as these offensive coaches are. So I'm simply asking that we get more of Kyle Pitts. Whatever that takes. I don't care if that means putting him at quarterback. I let him throw a couple passes if that's what it takes. Please. Please.
I just don't understand why the response. We all know, we've heard the fantasy football quote. Why not just say, yes, you know, we need to get him more involved because clearly, I think as much as we're joking about Arthur Smith's response about it's not fantasy football, we're just trying to win.
Yeah.
If you were winning, we might accept that argument,
right.
But that's not the case. And so here is one of your biggest playmakers, physical, competitive guy, J.J. Zachariasen from
late round
quarterback. Yeah. He posted this tweet. I was trying to look down to get it right because I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Tight ends with more receiving yards than Kyle Pitts after two games. Zach Gentry.
Yeah.
Pharaoh Brown. Mm. Colby Parkinson. I dare you to find them.
I know, right?
No.
I know.
Like that's.
I mean, I'm a sicko, so I like have those guys in a couple leagues. No, I don't have them in a couple leagues, but I do know who they are. But you're right. It's like.
But for the average person, they're like, what?
What are we doing here? What are we
What's
doing?
Happening?
Zach Gentry, like,
and you spent draft capital.
You could tell me he was a soap opera actor and I'd believe you, right? Like, Zach Gentry. Oh, I love that new LP he has. I heard it on Sirius XM radio recently, right?
Sounds like a country
singer. Sound like a country music artist. Yeah. Yes, it does. Like,
Zach Gentry. Hey, this is Zach Gentry on Sirius XM 60. Nashville on
the highway.
Nashville the highway. I'm here to let you know about my new single. My love ain't as strong as Kyle Pitts' target chair.
Oh, my God. Kyle, we love you. We're trying to get you involved.
Yes, please. Please catch more passes.
Good grief. It's not his fault.
No, it's not. Just we love you. All right.
We're done.
All right.
That was so painful. This is what it does to us.
Listen, we are fantasy managers, too. This is a part of it. Like, we go through these same things. We have so many teams.
Yeah, so
that's part of it. All right, thank you so much for hanging out with us through that. We got our good friend Liz Loza coming up next. But first, Stefania, we're going to pay some bills. I'm going to start off. Do you want to start off? You want me to start off?
I'll go.
All right, why don't you go first?
Let the A student go first.
Ooh.
Lions, Tigers, and Bruins. Oh, my. The college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich smoked sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip, yum, to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich smoked sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you.
Not bad, rookie. Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here and come and gone. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on any NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued to opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. Holy smokes. Will you guys take off? I got to breathe for a second.
Sure, I got you. You want to say hello to Liz? Hey, Liz Loza, are you there?
I am here, Field.
Okay, Liz, I just want to let you know that Daniel, very good at live reads. I imagine you would be better because, like Stefania, you are Ivy League educated. You are the pride of Brown. Some call it the Wesleyan of Rhode Island. It's great to have you on this morning. How are you?
Wow.
I am great. I am wonderful. And I don't really think that Brown would call me the pride of that campus, but I appreciate the platitudes.
That sounds like there's a story.
Yeah,
there.
Let's not worry about any of the football stuff. Why would they not do that, Liz? Let's talk about it.
I didn't always blend. Let's just say that much.
Mm. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, first off, I do appreciate you blending and getting the memo that this is a button-up shirt Wednesday. Stefania, you're the only one not wearing buttons on today's show. I appreciate you joining the club. Let's talk about a couple of games here and a few players that we want to talk about. Because we've got Tua Tagovailoa, who absolutely crushed it this last week, now taking on the Buffalo Bills, which is a much tougher defense, not just for Tua, but also for these two pass catchers. What is it that you like about Tua here, and what are your expectations for him in week three against Buffalo?
Okay, really interesting stat, courtesy of Sig. Buffalo at Miami, Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa are first and second in the NFL in total QBR entering the matchup. Both QBs have 7 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions through 2 weeks. So on paper, at least, more evenly matched than I think people are anticipating.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that Josh Allen is going to steamroll everybody. I mean, Field made a brilliant point on yesterday's pod, and that being like, forget the running backs, who cares? Nobody can stop him. They don't need balance. Like, of course I have Josh Allen at the top of my QB rankings. He's number one. He's not going to be. There are some interesting matchups. I think the backfield in Miami is probably the place that I find the most head-scratching to begin with.
Yeah, I've got Tua outside of my top 12 this week. I want to see it one more week just because of this tough Buffalo defense. However, if he's out there in the waiver wire and I've been rolling with maybe Carson Wentz or a backup, I'm absolutely grabbing Tua. Don't worry about this week against Buffalo. If you got someone else, you can roll with it. But to your point, that running back situation, it looks like Raheem Mostert sort of going to become the guy because we watched Chase Edmonds not be the dude last week. I mean, talk to me about this backfield. How are you sussing this out? Because if I can help it, I'm trying to stay away from these guys here this week, but Raheem Mostert might be a sneaky ad for later on in the season.
Well, we've seen Chase Edmonds fall out of favor before. This is not a new story. And it's not just, like, I want to add some context to this. It's not just that Raheem Mostert out-snapped Chase Edmonds. His snap share went up by 20%. His carries more than doubled. His routes run more than doubled. He has familiarity with Mike McDaniel, obviously. So it's something to monitor. But the injury history makes me a little bit nervous. And obviously, as you mentioned, this matchup is pretty tough. Like, the Bills are favorited by 5.5, so I'm not imagining, even if the Dolphins want to play a little bit of keep away, it's going to be enough. And we know that, like, Mostert is not a grinder, right? Edmonds is not a grinder. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, top 40 options for me in this matchup. But I think the most of the attention, obviously, is going to be on these Miami receivers as they try to keep pace with Josh Allen and the Bills offense.
Heck yeah. Obviously, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill did something unimaginable last week, if we're being honest. I have them both inside of my top 12. Are they both top 12 plays for you here as well, in spite of the fact that they're taking on the Buffalo Bills?
They are top 10 options every week. Like, forget top 12. I had them written as top. I mean, the chance that both of them go off is slim, but the upside and the ceiling is too great. I said on Monday's show, that for me, with these field stretchers, Tua has top 15 to top 5 variability every single week, and I'm just incredibly impressed with them. Also, the over-under on this game, 53.5, mm-hmm. which is, I believe, there are only 2 games projected to have over 50 points, and this is one of them.
That's
so
right.
I want to start these receivers.
Do you happen to know what the other game is, Liz Loza? Don't worry. I got you if you don't.
Yes, it is the Detroit game.
It is the Detroit Lions. That's right. Who would have thought?
With the Vikings.
Did you know? We're talking about Josh Allen. You said he threw 7 touchdowns, so far this year. The team with the most offensive touchdowns through 2 weeks in the NFL season is the Detroit freaking Lions. And I want to take a second just to say shout out to my team, because who would have thought after 2 weeks that they would have outscored the entire rest of the NFL? Shout out to Dan Campbell and all of that entire offense. That has nothing to do with fantasy. I just want to take a minute to be able to say that, because I think that was awesome. All right. Let's talk about the impact of Jimmy G that he is going to have now with Trey Lance gone, unfortunately, for the rest of this season. You got Trey Lance coming under center for these 49ers, taking on the Broncos. It's going to be tough to be able to see what these wide receivers look like, in part because we haven't really seen them other than the half a game that we got to see with Jimmy Garoppolo last week. So how are you breaking down both Debo and Brandon Ayuk, excuse me?
We haven't seen them in 2022, but we do have a pretty large sample size from 2021. Brandon Ayuk, from when he, you know, found his way out of the doghouse and back onto the field over the last half-ish of last season, averaged 13 fantasy points per game when Jimmy G was under center. I think that's an optimistic ceiling for Ayuk. I obviously need to see it. The matchup is theoretically difficult, although we really haven't seen the Broncos put it to an opposing offense the way we're necessarily expecting them to. So right now I have Ayuk in that wide receiver 35 to 40 range. So he's on that flex bubble. I want to see it, but I do think he has wide receiver 2 range at his ceiling. Debo Samuel, we know what we're going to get a little bit out of there. We know that we anticipate at least that the rushing opportunities are going to increase, particularly with TDP dealing with this high ankle sprain. He did average 6.6 rushing attempts per game from weeks 10 to 18, didn't play in week 13. So I think with that, we know the upside for Debo is within the top 10. So on a ceiling perspective, we've got a top 10 wide receiver and like a top 20-ish wide receiver here.
Yeah, it kind of feels like if I'm looking at Debo Samuel, and I'm not sure it really changes much with the way that I'm ranking him, but having Jimmy Garoppolo under center as a pass catcher is just going to offer him a little bit more value from that standpoint. Being able to, right now, without having Elijah Moore and TDP both being out, Jeff Wilson's going to be the guy. So also from a running game perspective, there's another guy that might need to utilize Debo Samuel quite a bit in this game with the way that that offense is set up. But I just mentioned Jeff Wilson. I mean, he's a guy, if I can help it, I'm probably trying not to start him this week against the Denver Broncos. Although to your point, the Broncos defense is more like a good Broncos defense on paper and less as the way we've seen it out on the field.
Yeah.
How are you looking at Jeff Wilson headed into week 3?
So to that point, Daniel, Kyle Soppy and I have been working on a little O-line blocking and defensive D-line blocking metric. It's going to be called the Loza blocking metric. And right now, after admittedly only 2 weeks, the Broncos D-line in terms of run stopping is 32nd.
Wow.
So very interesting. I don't like those metrics, particularly against a Kyle Shanahan offense that is so friendly to rushing yards, that produces so many of them. Jeff Wilson, as you mentioned, the lead guy, he averaged 17 carries per game when Eli Mitchell was out at the end of last season and Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback. So I have him in the running back 25 to 30 range. I'd love to have the option to not start him. I don't think a lot of people do, particularly if they scooped him off of waivers for a good reason. So I think you can flex him and probably, based on the way the Denver defense has performed over the past 2 weeks, might be surprised with his output.
Yeah, you've got him at, looks like, running back 24 inside the top 25. And I like your point. Understanding, you know, we've talked about this with the Broncos. 32nd, for those that are wondering, is bad. That's last in the NFL. That's last. That's really not good. So I may have to reconsider that. I may have to reconsider the where I've got Jeff Wilson ranked for this week. All right, let's talk about a couple of quarterbacks here. I want to rip through a few of these guys. Some of them are more fun than others. I think this first one actually is a really fun one. Joe Flacco taking on the Cincinnati Bengals is quarterback 10 through 2 weeks of the NFL season. They've thrown more passes than anybody else. Is Joe Flacco rosterable yet for you, Liz Loza?
I mean, high on volume, low on efficiency. 6.0 YPA, gross. 7.4 air yards per attempt. That's QB22. 20% pressured completion percentage. That's QB 33. There are only 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. So I appreciate the volume. You could say it was elite. And I appreciate it for the reasons because now it is allowing players like Garrett Wilson to have opportunities, like Stefania just mentioned. Elijah Moore is averaging. I think he's actually not averaging. He's seen seven seven looks in back-to-back games. So I like the volume for his pass catchers. But he's not throwing the ball well enough for me to want to trust him.
I think that's fair. I think there are other quarterbacks that I potentially like more. And this other one, next one coming up, I think is an interesting conversation. Jared Goff taking on the Minnesota Vikings. He's quarterback 9 through 2 weeks. Listen, I get it. The Lions have been a tough team. But again, they've scored more offensive touchdowns than any other team this season. Is he in the streaming conversation now, Liz?
Girl, I'm here for it. I know who's asking the question. I am totally here with you. Clap them up. Jared Goff got a bad rap when he left LA. Sean McVay bust through him in a completely gross manner. Right now, Jared Goff has a 6-touchdown-to-1-interception ratio. Yes, he is working behind arguably the best pass blocking unit in the NFL, and he has one fire safety valve and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he can do it this week in a matchup that you mentioned has a projected point total of 53.5.
I am totally with you. Young wide receivers, strong running back, solid tight end, and an elite offensive O-line. This is not the Jared Goff that you thought he was. He's still not a full-time starter yet, but if you need someone as a streamer, I do not mind using Jared Goff. All right, what about Carson Wentz? We've seen through the first 2 weeks, he was quarterback 3 in week 1. He was quarterback 5 in week 2. This week, going home to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, the revenge narrative. Is he still a top 10 quarterback in week 3, or has this been a fluke through the first 2 weeks, Liz?
Oh, he's going to make you sweat for it, right? Like I popped out Trey Lance last minute and put in Carson Wentz, and I'm glad I did, but I was regretting it. Well, Trey Lance obviously got hurt, but I was sweating it real hard. Here's the thing about the Carson coaster. Number one in deep ball attempts with 15 over the last 2 weeks. Three incredible pass catchers that help him stay efficient and accurate, obviously, right? When you have hands like Jahan Dotson's, maybe you can help a quarterback like Carson Wentz become a little bit more accurate. But he is also the QB3 in interceptable passes with 7. So every other deep ball is a little bit wonky. And that is, like I said, the Carson coaster. I think I have him more. I'm a little bit lower on him than the rest of the ESPN consensus, probably because I did personally ride that wave last Sunday. I have him more as a high-end QB2 than a low-end QB1. Again, hoping that some of these other guys that we're going to talk about, Joe Burrow, maybe in a good matchup bounces back. So that's where I have him. But he is definitely on the streaming radar, and particularly with Dak and Trey not on the field, some people are going to have to start him.
Yeah, he's throwing the ball a lot, which is fantastic, and that's sort of what you're looking for. If you need a streaming quarterback, you want someone that's going to be out there potentially, hopefully scoring a lot of points, and he has through the first 2 weeks. All right, you mentioned Joe Burrow. We've got a couple more quarterbacks we're going to rip through. Joe Burrow, quarterback 11 through 2 weeks. Do you have Joe Burrow in any leagues? Because he's a really frustrating one to be able to figure out what to do with. Because his team is too good to just straight up bench him, I feel like.
That, Daniel. Yeah, I actually have him in the pod league.
Oh.
Particularly friendly. Yeah, it's not been great. Every time he gets hit, I think about his appendix. But I am holding him. Like I said, I like his matchup. We've also seen Joe Cool post top 8 fantasy numbers despite a bottom 2 protection rate. So we know that the possibility, the potentiality is there. And I'm betting on a bounce back. The Jets defense hasn't generated much pressure at all. I think they've only recorded 3 sacks over 2 weeks. So yeah. I'm going to stand pat here.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Matthew Stafford taking on the Arizona Cardinals. This is tough. Quarterback 20 through 2 weeks, Liz.
Yes.
He leads the NFL in interceptions, which is a very Lions Matthew Stafford thing to do. I thought hopefully that was behind him when they, came over to the Rams and won a Super Bowl last year. Is Matthew Stafford still a top 12 quarterback for you here in week 3?
I have him as my QB8 right now. I think if you look at his history against Arizona last season, the 2 times he faced them in the regular season, at least of 2021, he cleared 280 passing yards and managed multiple touchdowns. He has the ultimate cheat code that isn't mobility in Cooper Kupp. So I can't quite give up on him yet. Evolution takes time. We talked about that. Let's be a little bit cool here.
All right. What about Russell Wilson taking on the 49ers? Quarterback 18 through 2 weeks. Where are you on Russ taking on this Niners defense?
Russ is such a, like, we're, again, I think evolution takes time. Like, he's not feeling himself, but I do like this matchup because he has familiarity within the division. This is an opponent that he has battled over quite a amount of time. And if you look at his meetings, against San Francisco over the last four times, and again, he was on a different squad, definitely a different play caller. But if you look at those matchups, he tossed at least two touchdowns in all four of them. And he also rushed for at least 20 yards in three of those four meetings. I was really interested to see that sort of synchronicity show up for Russ. So again, I think I have him as my QB11 because it's been a little bit rough and I'm not quite sure where Jerry Judy's going to line up. I think if Jerry Judy makes it onto the field, I feel a little bit more comfortable because I still really do think there was a connection there and that maybe threw him and Nathaniel Hackett off their game plan last season when Judy went out. It's no excuse, but it is maybe a variable. So I have him as a low-end QB1 heading into Sunday.
Did you say synchronicity? Was that a word that you used? Was that the name of police? I was going to say that's a music song.
Music reference.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate that. Shout out to that. All right, we got one more to be able to go through. Derek Carr taking on the Tennessee Titans, quarterback 13 through 2 weeks here. Are you trusting him to right the ship? Because I am, as long as he throws the ball to Davante Adams more often this week, Liz.
Yeah, you know, Carr's completion percentage, I think, is the thing that's the most troubling for me. Just 61.8, his lowest since 2015, which seems wild because he's got, as you mentioned, Davante Adams. But again, I think sometimes we find these new pieces and expect them to click from jump, and that's just not the case. Also, the matchup, I think, is actually favorable. The Titans are all sorts of banged up. They're coming off of a short week. This defense, the Titans defense, has allowed 500 passing yards and six touchdowns, admittedly half of those belonging to Stephon Diggs, over the first 2 weeks. They've also only forced one interception. So if I'm mostly worried about Carr's completion percentage and he's facing a defense that's not really turning over the ball a lot of the time, I'm okay with it. I have him projected for around 270 passing yards and two touchdowns. You know, he's a low on QB1 again.
Okay. All right. I can take that. I can take that on Derek Carr. I think that's fair. Liz, you just did an awesome job. We ripped through a ton of names there really quickly. Where can everybody find you? Just in case they haven't been here every single Wednesday to be able to know how awesome Liz Loza is, where can they find you on Twitter and everywhere else?
You can find me on social at LizLoza_FF. Check out the fantasy improv column that Daniel, DJ Gallo, and I write. And I have a 5 props that pop article that comes out every Saturday. So after you've taken in all of the college ball, go ahead and put a little action on the NFL.
Make some money. Make back the money, Liz, that I often lose wagering on
the college ball. That's right. That's how it works.
Yeah. Except for one, I bet Wesley, because we're undefeated.
On college.
I love it.
Truthfully.
Liz, thank you so much. We will see you here next week. All right. That's going to do it for us, guys. That's it for Wednesday. We're going to be back tomorrow. Me, Field, Mike, we're going to talk about the Thursday Night Football matchup. We're going to go through some games. We've got CSS DFS, which is always fantastic.
Yes, can't wait for that.
It's going to be fantastic. And then Friday, obviously, we'll be back with all of the injury updates, everything you need to know heading into the week.
Can't wait.
I'm going to go home and spend some time with the love of my life. You guys all right with that?
That sounds great, Dan.
You sure was a happy birthday.
Stefania will be over there with the Miller Lights and pizza in hand from Little Caesars by about 6 o'clock.
That sounds like a plan.
Deal.
All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much. We will see you tomorrow. No, seriously, you want to bring over pizza and beer?
Yeah, no, really.
That sounds like a plan.
I'm bringing Rosie a present. I know. Thank you.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.